Okay, we're going. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our meeting today. I'm so happy that we hear so many good voices and everybody sounds well. That's the most important part. And let's do a quick round of hellos and introductions, and we'll get going there. I know I've kind of gone over it, but let's go ahead. Again, I'm Barbara. I'm vice chair. And again, I think our chair, Ken will be here, I'm hoping so. But anyway, good morning. Whoever's on my right, go ahead.
On my screen, that's me. This is Joanna Kyle. I'm a committee member and I work for Coyote Task Force.
Joe, do you want to go ahead? About you, Sharon?
I'll go. I'm Sharon Faulkner Gillespie with Intermountain Center's Foster Care for this the pretty much the whole state of Arizona. I'm also an adoptive mom, and I work with several different people in different capacities, and a committee member.
This is Joe Mashensky. Did you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now, Joe.
Thank you.
Susan
Hyder, past family member, advocate.
Oh boy.
Any other committee members?
Phyllis Grant from Family Involvement Center and a family member and a committee member.
Okay, I'm not having any luck with this.
What are you trying to do, Barbara?
Can you hear me? Is it working yet?
Yes.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, just a minute. It's, never mind. Okay, it's interesting because it's showing muted, but it's not muted. Isn't that interesting?
No.
A little fun with this program today. Sorry. Okay. I accidentally hit the hang up instead of the mute. So I've been out for a minute. So everyone's introduced themselves. Is that
almost? Right? I think we got all your committee members announced.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and start. I'm Larry Allen. I'm the ADOA IOC liaison for statewide director.
This is Frederica Graham with Access, the liaison.
And good morning again, everyone. This is Alex Demian. I am the new advocacy administrator with Access.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Coutsman with Banner Behavioral Health.
Hi, everyone. This is Sophie Stevenson, UHC IOC liaison.
How are we doing?
Hi, this is Lisa Brown from Arizona Complete Health. I'm the Individual and Family Affairs Manager.
Again, just testing. Larry, can you hear me?
Yes.
This doggone, my little icon at the bottom with the microphone has an X through it, so okay. I'll just ignore that. I don't even know how to mute it now, but I'll just leave it be and try to be real quiet when I'm not speaking. Anyway, good morning, everyone. I'll play with the software later. Good morning. Is everyone accounted for? Did everybody get to say hello, good morning?
I believe so.
We'll get going then. Tyson, did Tyson dial in? Let me see, where am I? No, I don't think, where are we? No, that's okay. The notes will be delayed. They will be coming. But again, they are posted from our last meeting on the website. So we'll just skip the the minutes. I call them notes all the time, but I mean the minutes. The minutes, we'll review it another time and take care of that. And so first things first, I'd like to open up the floor to Frederica and Larry.
This is Frederica. I don't have any real updates other than wanting to introduce you all to Alex Demian, who he did earlier. He is the new advocacy administrator, and he will be taking the place of CJ, so he'll be joining in as he can on these meetings. And that is really all of the updates that I have right now. I don't know, Alex, if you have anything else you would like to add, but you did do your introduction a little bit earlier. So if not, then we can move on. Thank you, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Nope, nothing really big to add. Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it. Look forward to working with you all. It's a pleasure to meet you and to be here. Thanks so much for having me. Happy to answer any questions and help as I can. I know I've got big shoes to fill walking in for CJ, but I'll do the best I can. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Alex. Thank you. Okay.
Barb from ADOA. Big thank you to Susan for working through the annual report and getting me the report a couple weeks ago. That's appreciated very much. We are in receipt of your guidelines for your committee. I will be seeing those on our website for 30 days for public comment. Once the 30-day time period has elapsed, we will take those down and take into account all public comments, and we'll be getting that back out to the group, and then we can finalize your guidelines. But that is really the only two updates that I really have for the group. Any questions that I might be able to field or help you get answered? I'd be happy to take any questions.
Does anyone have any questions? Yes, I guess we're good to go, Larry. Thank you, Larry. So Jason is not on board. Jason, I did not hear his name. He's Officer Winsky. He's probably really busy again today. Okay, so moving just quickly down the agenda, we'll go to member recruitment outreach. Sharon, did you have any success talking with your people on that issue?
Anybody? I did talk to a couple of them about joining this next month. We're actually getting ready for an internal audit right now, so they weren't able to join today, but hopefully next month I'll be able to get people to join from the Southeast region, which would be Cochise and Santa Cruz County, as well as Yuma County. We have people up in Maricopa, but I know they have their own IOC meetings. And we have people in Pinal County too. So it's just up to you guys on whether or not I invite the Pinal County folks or not. But I know definitely for this committee, I believe that the Southeast counties count, and so does Yuma. So they were definitely interested, but like I said, because of our upcoming audit, they were not able to join this month.
Okay, totally understood. So basically, I think Cochise, that's perfect, and over in Yuma. I think those are the areas that we kind of wanted to invite and get them on board so they could maybe open their own, and then we could request that eventually they break us off and give us a smaller area and let them run their own show. That would be great. So thank you. Thank you very much, Sharon. And totally understood about the audit. So in time, we'll keep working on that. Anyone else have any leads to any new members? In the day of COVID, I asked that. I'm sorry. So okay, I don't hear anything. Okay, moving on to deaths, incidents, seclusion, restraint. Has anyone had any time to explore, get on the server and take a look at reports?
Barbara, I guess I'm not sure if this was after the last meeting or what, but I did go through a number of death reports. I think I may have gone back too far. I was looking at November forward, and after talking with Frederica, I'm going to close that gap and be closer to the current date, maybe January and February. I have to look at it.
Okay, sounds good. I know it's overwhelming when I have looked out there. It's like, oh my goodness. And I suppose we should probably start at the most current month, the way things are going, and get out there. And by the way, Alex, how are you? Pretty comfortable on that system? So you'll be there for us if we get stuck.
I am getting comfortable. I'm relatively comfortable, yes. Not so much as CJ is, and probably even definitely actually even as Fred is. So I'll be here to help. I'll figure out whatever it is that you guys might end up needing in tandem with Fred. But the good thing about CJ's new role is she took a position with the quality management team within Access. So she'll actually still be a really great resource for us as far as the quality management side of the portal goes. So, again, happy to help with whatever comes up. I'll figure it out and be learning with you all in some instances. But definitely happy to help with whatever issues come up.
Thank you, Alex. And no worries. We're all struggling with lots of things just to get up to speed and really utilize the system. You know, we appreciate it's there, but it's really different for us. So anyway, but thanks, Alex. Good to know. So
yeah, of course.
You know more than we do. Okay, and then Board and Care, of course, is still on.
I interrupt, Barbara? I'm sorry.
No worries.
Back to the reports. I just remembered all of us received the proposed outline, I guess, from the tribal nations, their proposed reports, et cetera, that would be on the portal. If I'm correct on that, Larry, am I remembering that correctly? Are those reports that we would be reviewing, or do the tribal nations review their own, or?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
A great question.
I don't know if Frederica, do you have any idea on that?
Susan, you're wanting to know if you all have access to the reports, or?
Well, not necessarily. I'm assuming we have access to it, but I don't know. But once they're up and being put on the portal, and if we do have access, are we to be also reviewing those, or is there a separate group of people reviewing those?
Well, you would review the reports that you have access to. So okay. if they're happens to be a report in there that comes from the tribal and you have access to that report, then you can review it. But as far as who's reviewing those, it's just going to be based off of what your section has access to. So if they've uploaded reports into the Southern's portal, then you guys will have access to review that. If okay. you ever have any questions about a report that has been uploaded, maybe thinking that it was uploaded incorrectly, or if it doesn't have anything to do with you know, your committee, then reach out to me and let me know. And then I can follow up on it, because sometimes they are uploaded to the incorrect places. And that's just a issue that we have to deal with on this end, and a compliance issue that, you know, we have to move further up for them to make sure that they're doing it appropriately.
Okay. Barb, just maybe something, a footnote for the future. I'm remembering, and I don't have it in front of me, but in the annual report, one of our future objectives was to take all the IED reports and et cetera and break them into kind of subcommittees. So members of the committee were only looking at one category, so it wasn't quite so overwhelming. If the tribal reports become of such a number, which they may or may not be, that might be another subcategory. I just want to make verbal note of that because I know I'm going to forget.
Sure. No, noted. Right.
Thank you.
Yes, you betcha. I know that we haven't formally assigned individuals to the different reports.
Right, right.
It's a goal. It is a goal.
Definitely.
And I put a note on my agenda just to keep that one in mind.
Okay.
I remember seeing that. In fact, I think I circulated that after someone sent me that information about the Indian Nation. And that's a really good.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you.
Okay. You betcha. Good question. Thanks. Okay. I think.
Real quick. Sure. This is Joanna. I was able to review some of the incident accident death reports from, I just took a starting point of reviewing the ones that had been documented in January. So I can briefly talk a little bit about what I found there. There were a total of 135 documented, but not in every category. There were two in abuse, four in neglect, 91 in safety risk management, and 38 in the unexpected death reports. And was able to review about 50 of those 135.
Great.
Wow.
So I didn't find anything out of order. Looks like all the providers were taking appropriate actions. And I'll try to finish a decent sampling of the January ones and then move on to February. But there were a lot of allegation categories that didn't have any reports at all. And I didn't have time to check, but I thought it might make sense to take a sampling and see what are the biggest categories, and we could maybe use those numbers to start thinking about how to divvy them up for people reviewing the IAD reports.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
Excellent. Thanks. That's
amazing. You know, to that point, I did notice as well that in a fair percentage of the reports, the providers seem to be, in my opinion, really on top of them and had already done their research and, you know, result due dates, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd never seen that before. I guess maybe having it on a electronic format makes that more apparent. So I was pleased to see that. That was cool.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Okay, that's great. Joanna, let me just ask, how was the navigating for you? How was it? Was it okay? Do you have any comments?
It was great, yes. I used the IOC review checkmark quite a bit, and that helped me keep track of which reports I'd looked at. And just kind of did a tally as I went of which reports were in which category. I didn't use CJ's Excel trick, but I think I'll do that going forward just to keep track of things better.
Okay.
Where did you find the, you referenced the IOC checkmark list? I assume that's what to look for?
Yes. That was, let's see, when I searched for the reports and the portal produced a list, there's an unfilled and unchecked just in that list. And you can check that those boxes as you review each report.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks.
To which, Susan, I know what you're referring to. You and I had some conversation last month about, for those of us reviewing these different reports, a richer understanding of what to look for, you know, and where the red flags might be and so forth. And we had discussed this a couple times in the past, and because we were so busy trying to figure out how to get on board and navigate. When it comes down to what to do once you get at the narrative, you know, what are you looking for? We had discussed that once we were all on board doing this, that the questions would arise. And at the time, we were going to ask CJ or Frederica for some help. But now, Alex, we may get some help there, too, because I know you would like maybe a checklist of what red flags to look for. Isn't that what you were looking for, Susan?
Yeah, whatever form it takes, folks who have not reviewed these in the past, I think would really benefit, all of us would, as a refresher, myself also, but what are the red flags that we should be looking for, et cetera, et cetera? So whether it's a formal checklist, which I think is a great idea, and probably coupled with, you know, maybe a mini training session, I think would be very beneficial. I remember years ago when I first started reviewing them, I was kind of lost. I wasn't quite sure what red flags I was looking for, and that somebody sat me down and walked me through several of them. It helped a lot. So if it's beneficial, then I think it would be great to have something available.
I agree with you. I was on a call with Central, I believe it was, like a call. It was for their meeting. And when they got to this section of their agenda, Dr. Potts asked me if I'd done any seclusion restraints as an example. And I said, yes. And they were new at that. And I remember saying, well, the two big red flags for me in seclusion restraints was in reading the narrative. Well, first looking and seeing how many times they used a chemical restraint versus, you know, another choice, you know, like
right.
De-escalation and there's other choices they can make. That for me was a red flag. If I saw a site using nothing but chemical, which I did discover one time at one site, they were really predominantly using, you know, drugs to de-escalate. Anyway, and the other a note I said was the idea of that's where that trauma-informed care came in, and we were given a good, you know, a class on it. Remember, Melissa, John brought us that, but more awareness of the staff needing trauma-informed care, because you could read in the narrative that perhaps they might not be dealing with the clients quite in a fashion to help them out, because they, to me, they were ignoring the fear and the upsetness of the clients in a way that came out in the narrative. I don't need to go into detail, but the point is there was a lot of good discussion at that meeting. So I thought that as time goes by and people start to do this and we have more questions, So for everyone on our committee, please bring them forward. If you have any questions about what you're reading, or if you have any questions about how to interpret these reports, then please bring them forward. And Joanna, did you have any questions about, or was it pretty straightforward in on the incident? Was it pretty straightforward?
For the most part, I really just used my common sense to read through the reports, and if it sounded like the provider was providing appropriate follow-up and took appropriate measures, that was enough. But I would absolutely love more concrete tools to determine what's appropriate and what's not for these. I think there were a couple of the neglect allegations that I noted. I don't remember the details, but you know, it's in a lot of cases the provider just, you know, there's really nothing to be done that the provider hasn't done, even if it's not a good outcome for the member.
Okay. Understood.
So yes, more training. More training would be great.
Or yes. Okay. Again, Frederica, and any suggestions on that? Because I know in speaking to the other IOCs, they're struggling and don't really have, you know, things to help us with. I don't know that maybe in time they too will have more information. But have you any thoughts on that, or Larry? Anybody?
So as I always instruct, if there's any issues or questions that may come up while you guys are reviewing, always reach out. And Susan is very good at that. So if she ever has any questions or concerns or issues that she needs help with, she'll send a quick email. I'll set up a phone call with her, and we kind of walk through the process of it. So, you know, there can be several different concerns. Everybody's concerns may not be the same. So I always like to have you all send those directly to me so that I can provide technical assistance. And I can at that point determine if it's an issue within the system, or if it's, you know, just maybe more education needed on how to navigate it. That way I can determine, you know, how to help. And that goes with all of the IOC groups. So I always just suggest that if you are in there and you have a question, send it to me so that I can attempt to walk you through the process. We still also have the PowerPoints that, you know, that CJ has taught on in regards to all the different trainings to how to navigate that system. So I'm always happy as well to walk with you guys through that too. So just, you know, send it to me if you're going through and you have a specific question on one, send it to me. There could be something that may have been missed in reviewing it. There could be an issue where it is something that I need to reach out to a health plan on and that sort of thing. So I just like to say, let's do it case by case, because not all of the reviewers are looking at the same material, and not all the reviewers are going to have the same question. Does that help, Barbara?
Excellent. Yes, it does. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in again if I may. Yeah, Frederica's been absolutely incredibly awesome in assisting. I want to step back for a second. Given the extreme importance of these reports, and I really believe they should become very top of mind, that this is a huge human rights advocacy issue that we are charged with, I guess, for lack of a better word. And I feel very strongly that reviewers must know, if not specifically, at least generally, what exactly are we looking for in terms of human rights violations in any of the subcategories. And if we at least have a general feeling, if reviewers have a general feeling, and we can get to specifics one-on-one, but I really think it's a critical, for lack of a better word, training piece that we need to get at probably sooner than later as committee members start, as Sharon, start jumping more and more onto the portal and becoming familiar with it. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that, Susan. So what I'll do is I will go through and I will give you all, I guess, like a little bit of a cheat sheet, if you will tell you on our end, as far as under, you know, our umbrella being the Office of Human Rights, what we would be determining could be a rights violation.
Great.
And that kind of thing, you know, that's public information. So I can definitely get that to you guys. That way, when you're doing review, you can determine, you know, if this is happening to a said member, this is considered a rights violation. Will that help you if I got that to you or to the group, should I say? Is that something that you're looking for, or is it a little bit deeper than that?
I personally, I think that would be a great assistance. It may be all that we need. Who knows till we see it. There's always going to be little specific cases that is probably a learn as you go type thing. But that would be great, Frederica.
Okay. Thank you. No problem. I'll get that sent out to you all.
Cool.
That sounds great. Thanks, Frederica, very much. That's great.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Board and care, still on hold for a period of time. I actually get my first vaccine in a week, so maybe I can start thinking about gearing up. But Melissa, I'm still thinking, I don't know, March, April, May. I'm not sure when we'll be able to get out and do in-person board and care. Has anybody heard anything? Quit it. Sorry, let me turn that off. Has anybody any word on the street about getting out and doing board and care, or not even that, just in-person type visits? Has anybody heard anything? Nope.
Okay. Now, I know for foster care, we're still doing a lot of trainings remotely via Zoom, or we have a system called LifeSize or Google Meets or whatever. And then for our home visits, we are back in the homes, and DCS is in the homes as well. And they've been in the homes for the past. I mean, they took a couple months off last year when it all started, but they've been going in the homes once a month. But for the most part, we're trying to stay virtual as much as we can, but still going in the homes at least once a month to make sure the requirements and everything are followed. So, but for training, it is virtual through DCS.
Okay. Thanks, Sharon. That's good. That's okay. Good.
Well, hey, Barbara, it's Melissa. So it's pretty much the same for most of the providers that I've had contact with. They're doing everything remotely, either by telephone or through like Zoom or Google Meets platform. And that's obviously poses difficulty for staff trying to get a hold of folks in the boarding home. It was hard even trying to do that in person. I have been in contact with the housing managers at the, you know, the big three providers. And I've asked that they can try to at least get me a few options. If that's something that you're wanting to do soon, I don't want to have them do it if you're not planning to go and make the visits. But we could talk about that offline or talk about it now, whatever you prefer, Barbara. But as of right now, they're not providers aren't making staff go out physically because of concerns for their own health and the virus. So they're trying to make phone calls to make contact. But we can work something, try to work something out to get you, you know, at least a few options from each of the providers if you're wanting to do some physical visits out to the boarding home sometime soon.
Oh, thanks for that information, Melissa. But no, mm-hmm. I'm in no hurry. Due to age and after vaccine, I'm going to, it'll probably be a few months before I can head out, and I'll be out. I'll hit the street running as soon as I get, I feel safe, and I can find somebody else on the committee that also feels comfortable heading out. And so, okay, thanks. You don't need to, mm-hmm. in my purposes, to get going on that, but that's good to know what the rest of the community is doing. Thank you. Thanks, Melissa.
Uh-huh, yeah, no problem.
Any other questions about board and care, anyone? No? Any? Okay. Special populations, Phyllis and Sharon. I'll let you.
Hi. This is Phyllis. So I'm getting a lot of people wanting to enroll in our services, a lot more, and I'm seeing a lot of homeless people, homeless families. Old Pueblo Community Services is doing a really good job of trying to shelter and provide transitional housing for as many as they can. And I'm seeing a lot of very stressed families and kids, you know, for obvious reasons. We are, FIC is doing in-home visits, doing respite, still providing family support, parent peer support. And we're, and now, you know, Mercy Care is going to be taking over the kids who are in DCS custody, overseeing that, starting April 1. So I've been involved on a lot of different committees for, transferring. Mercy Care has been meeting with some of the committees to sort of get an idea of how things go in Southern Arizona, because it's, you know, we're a very different community down here in Southern Arizona, and they're really trying to understand how things go for us down here. We're very, very collaborative, and it's just different. It's very rural in Southern Arizona as opposed to central, you know, Phoenix area. I was working with a foster family who just could not get in-home services for a child who was really, really high needs, and they ended up disrupting because they just couldn't, he was hurting their own children, their young children. And so that was one frustrating moment for me, trying to sit in on these CFTs, and they're all being done virtually, and the foster parent was not being heard, and they kept almost like ignoring, she was saying, he's going to have to leave. If I don't get in-home services, he's going to have to leave. And then sure enough, about 2 weeks later, she was promised at that meeting some in-home services. When the people called to talk to her, they said, oh no, this will be virtual. She said, no, this kid needs in-home services. So, he was hurting kids at the daycare, and she said he can't come back. And so that was really frustrating for me to see that happen and unfold that way. And I'm not saying that's an indication that that's going across the system. This is one case where the child was really, really, his behavior continued to escalate, and the foster parent was really seeking more help and didn't really get what she needed, partly because of the coronavirus, I'm sure, but it was frustrating to hear the case manager at the provider almost ignore that she said he can't stay here. If we don't get more help, he can't stay here. That's the only thing that stands out in my mind. And like I said, it was only one case. So I work with a lot of different foster families who are getting a lot of their services met, but this kid was only 4 years old, And his behaviors were pretty pretty out there, and they needed more support. And I was only with them for a couple of weeks before this all happened. He was with them for like 2 months total, and that's how quickly things deteriorated. Okay. So I'm concerned about that.
You know, Phyllis, I'm sorry. This is Susan.
Susan.
It's interesting. When you said that, it reminds me, I actually read a report on the portal. I inadvertently was looking at children, which I'm not going to do anymore, but I ran across one that was almost identical to what you're saying. And I don't remember the details of it, but it just sounds so familiar. I'm wondering if that's happening.
This is Sharon. It is happening across, it's happening across the state, not just here and there. But teens, if they're licensed, we are asking them to contact a person that their coordinator that helps them with their home, so we can help advocate for some of these in-person services. Because it is a huge problem across the state. We have had disruptions. We have had families not able to handle behaviors because kids are getting kicked out of daycares. And as you know, through COVID, there isn't any other options. Like daycares aren't just taking kids because they need to get into a new daycare because of COVID concerns. And foster parents, if they're regular foster parents, they have to be able to work. Like they can't rely on the foster care reimbursement because it really is a reimbursement for the foster families. And honestly, this month, and I'll talk about it more when we get to, once Phyllis is done speaking about her update, but foster parents, a lot of them didn't get paid this month. So that's a whole other thing.
Oh my God.
Oh my.
Well, that's kind of, I was afraid, I was just afraid this was bigger than this one family. And I've worked with other families and the behaviors weren't so profound. But yes, you're right, Sharon. It's really hard to get the providers to listen to the urgency with the foster families and even biological families, both of them, to try to get their voices heard. I know that there's a lot of definitions of family support, the definitions of family run, the definitions of peer parent support are being reexamined by Access. I know there's a lot going on. There's some Arizona 12 principles and vision is being retrained. But I just think that a lot of the fidelity that we used to have to child and family teams is gone for various reasons. I'm not going to point a finger at any one thing because it's a lot of different reasons. One of them being the huge turnover we get in behavioral health because it is what it is, and the new people coming on don't even know what the JK lawsuit was. Don't even know. And what's my personal feeling, and it's shared by a lot of people I talk with in the field, is that once the JK lawsuit got settled, all the teeth went out of everything. Nobody was being monitored to see that they would follow the fidelity to the child and family team practice. There were no practice improvements going on, nothing. And it clearly, without anybody watching, it went away. So it is. It's a statewide, and I believe it's a national program. And what's really sad is I'm hearing from people who are leaving Arizona because one went to Texas, one's going to Ohio, because the care there is better.
Sure.
They said care is better. So
this is Joe with Banner University Health Plan. Who's speaking? Is it
Phyllis?
Sharon or Phyllis? Oh, okay. Thank you, Phyllis.
That was Phyllis just now. Yeah.
Okay.
So Sharon, you can go ahead and take over.
Okay, thanks, Phyllis. So just the update. So regular foster care and kinship foster care, there's been a couple updates. Like I said earlier, their trainings are continuing to be virtual for homes that want to get licensed, which has been great because we've been able to do it on this forum, and their training curriculums and follow up and stuff like that. And in the middle of it, we do home visits and stuff like that to help the family get licensed.
Some of the challenges we've had over the last this last month, I would say, is that the DCS system switched. If people that know the children's system at all through Department of Child Safety, they used to use a system called CHILD. And that's how they tracked other kids through Department of Child Safety. Foster parents would log in and put in their billing information, like confirm the kids were there during those days of the last month. The system switched on February 1st to a system called Guardian. And that goes for adoptive parents, parents that are fostering, licensed and unlicensed. The system went down. So the system started on the 1st. It went down on the 5th. People have not been able to submit their invoices. Department of Child Safety was able to do a huge batch, received and approve everybody's invoices, but a lot of them weren't correct. Foster parents weren't getting paid. It went to an old bank account instead of the current bank account because the system was updated. A lot of foster parents, even adoptive parents, they're used to getting their check by the 5th. They didn't get it till the 19th. So, which puts a big issue out there, because a lot of these people who are even unlicensed foster parents, they get like $1 a day for each kid they have. If they're licensed, they get about, it's like $19.58 or $20 a day per kid that they have in their home. So depending on what it is, that $600, they really rely on that $600 a month per kid to pay for the electricity, the food, the stuff like that. Because like great grandma, who doesn't have any income, that's living on a fixed income, doesn't have anything else coming in. So we're trying to see, I mean, I know Aviva Children's Services here in Pima County has been helping out, doing food drives, doing different clothing drives and stuff like that. There's different, In My Shoes, is that they're on there a little bit. And then I know Phyllis's program has been helpful. There's a couple other programs too that are out there that are really trying to help these homes until they can get paid. Because they're really, I mean, if they're expecting that payment by the 5th and they don't get it, their bills are all denied. And it really is causing a huge issue in the foster care community.
Where is
Titus? Sharon, let me stop you. If you're not speaking right now, I think it was just muted. But if you're not speaking, just as a general reminder, if you wouldn't mind placing yourself on mute, that'd be great. So much.
Yeah, so there is that bigger issue right now that we're dealing with. Adult foster care, we're doing pretty good. I mean, Intermountain's opened up and we're starting to do adult developmental homes more and more, because we took over an agency last June, Intermountain did, and there's a couple other agencies too that are opening up to adult developmental homes, so we're working with that. But I think everybody's just trying to stay safe, reminding their foster families when we do go in the homes, if they could make sure that they're wearing their masks. A lot of families don't want to when we're in their home, but we make sure as staff that we are wearing our masks, using hand sanitizer and stuff like that, just to stay safe. Because, I mean, the life world does go on, and we are expecting in the next month, actually, some school districts are going to be opening up to full time. So then we're expecting a bigger boom in regards to DCS cases being called into the hotline, because obviously, no, everybody's working virtual, or a lot of kids are virtual. When they go back in person, we are expecting that kids are going to be reporting stuff that they haven't been able to be heard about in this last year. But I know for sure, I mean, Vail School District the teachers are already preparing to go back right after spring break. TUSD and a lot of the other ones are planning on going back full time. So we'll see how things go. We're just crossing our fingers that things go well and the school systems don't shut back down, because a lot of these kiddos that are going into school, their parents have to work. I know I'm lucky enough to have an 18-year-old that helps with childcare when I'm working, because she's here in the home and she's helping me out when she's not in her classes. But not everybody's that lucky. So there are a lot of foster parents that have been out of work. There's a lot of people that are really struggling right now because of the pandemic. So, and using programs like what Phyllis was talking about and stuff like that, and then making sure the behavioral health can come in the home, because these kids are socially isolated from their friends, from their teachers and stuff like that, which is making it a bigger issue, because as we know, depression is very big and they're right there with these kids. And anxiety has been higher too. I know one of my kids, who has definitely struggled with it I mean, he carries sanitizer with him everywhere he goes, and he's only 8. So I know that there is a bigger issue with that, with kids going back full time. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks. Thanks, Sharon, for all that. Wow. Boy. Any questions, comments from anyone? All right. Well, thanks, Sharon. Thanks, Phyllis. Boy, a lot going on there. By the way, Larry, can you hear me? I just want to make sure my screen's frozen, so I can't tell that my mute is off or on. It's good, though?
Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent. Okay, I'll keep going. Okay, thank you.
You're
all righty. Administrative bylaws annual report. No more comments other than yay team. We got our bylaws and our annual report in. And Larry's given us an update on, you know, all that. So we're good there. And then I think I'm going to skip the recap on the training and assignments this month, but just move on to the REBA and provider updates. See if Joe or Sophie or Melissa or anybody has anything that they would like to give us a heads up for. Even though you've all been wonderful, thank you for sending me links to any activities or trainings or whatever, and I've been able to distribute those. But does anybody have an update?
This is Joe with the with Banner Health Plan. I have no updates, Barbara.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Hi, Barbara. This is Sophie over at United Healthcare. Just want to get it on record that we have no updates to supply at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank by you. The way, Joe, Banner is how I'm finally getting a vaccine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Through Banner somehow.
Awesome. Awesome, Barbara.
Yes, that's what I say. I'm excited. Okay. And then I think Melissa.
Barbara. Hi. Hi, it's Melissa. Sorry. I did have one announcement. They're hiring a recovery support specialist within the Arizona Department of Corrections. And I especially wanted to get the information out to some of the providers. So if you know somebody that would be a good person for that position, it pays really well. I'll send the information to you, Barbara, if you can send it to everyone else. I don't know if I have everyone's contact information, but it's relatively new to have recovery support specialists within the prison system. So I really want to help promote a good person to get into that position. So I'll share the information with everyone. And then if you have any additional questions, you can get a hold of me.
Oh, that's excellent news. That is really good news. And I'll distribute it. And I have another list from providers in the past. I'll just shoot it out to anybody I can get my hands on. Hello, Dr. Potts. He just joined us. And I'll even send it up there. They might have somebody that...
Send it to anyone that you think would be appropriate, please. I'd greatly appreciate it.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's REBA provider updates and announcements. And any questions from the committee for anybody with our providers? Anything? Comments? No, okay. Well, Dr. Potts, you're just in time because I just got to updates from North and Central IOCs. Hello, hello, and what have you got to say?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I've been listening for a while. Hang on. There's feedback because my computer is screwed up. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I was. I've been listening for a while on the phone. Thank you, Dr. Possum, with the Central Arizona IOC. I apologize for coming in late, even though I was on for the previous half hour. One of the comments, just a public comment, one is the issue of families and foster families and others getting hurt is an issue that we're really focusing on, especially in the role of guardians. So we had a meeting with that Laurie Goldstein, the ASH IOC chairperson, facilitated regarding strategic planning. And we have a committee that's now going to be working a little bit on focusing in certain areas in the IAB, maybe for a little tighter, closer inspection. And since we can't do site visits now, we don't feel we want to do site visits until people feel more comfortable. We're going to be working on guardianship issues and focusing on the fact that a lot of guardians, and this would include parents, obviously, of minor children, are not being consulted regarding the treatment of their wards. And I think that's a statewide problem. So we need to make sure that so we're going to be looking at some of these issues and investigating. We have a couple of complaints we've had over the years as well. And other than that, we are going to vote on the next meeting to put the chairperson of each of the IOC committees, the mental health, the mental health committees, as a consulting member, so that they may participate in all of our meetings. They or the designee can participate as without voting, but as a consultant as permitted by the rules and regulations. So we'll do that with all the IOCs. So if you do join us, you can always add things or you can question you and say, hey, what do you think of this? How do you do it down there without having to have it on the agenda? You could be a consulting member.
Okay. You know, Dr. Potts, I may speak with you after the meeting. The communication I'm getting about every, unfortunately, about every second or third word. And that's really important what you're saying there. And I'm not getting the whole fullness of it because of, for some reason, our connection. Is it? Can everyone else hear well?
I'm sorry. Do you want me to repeat anything? Can you hear me better now?
Yes, actually, yes.
Okay, I've been having difficulty all day. So we're going to put all the IOC chairs or the designee as a consulting member of the Central Arizona IOC so that if you do call in, you can participate in discussions on objects, on items on the agenda, or, you know, we can, so you don't have to be specifically mentioned as the agenda as a participant. You'll be a member of our committees if that's okay with you. That way you can't vote, but you'll at least be able to be a consulting member. And if we say, hey, how do you do it down there? You can respond.
Excellent. Oh, okay. I'll have to figure out how you're doing that. I just put at the bottom of our agenda updates from North and Central because I didn't.
I looked at the regulations and they permit a consulting member's consultants to be a member non-voting. So I figured that's a good way of doing it. That way you don't have to limit just to me talking. You can say, hey, Doc, do you have some thoughts on this? So I can say, hey, guys, what do you think? How do you do it up there? And what do you do on this? So anyway, I'll we're going to do that.
I like
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That sounds like a plan. We might do the same thing then. Thank you.
Okay. No, and thank you. And I apologize. I'm trying to, what I'm going to do too, we need to get better on this. I do is send the agendas to the chairpersons or at least the memberships of our agenda when we meet. So any of your committee members are invited at all times to at least listen in and hopefully participate. And I think Mr. Allen's been very good about supporting us getting a statewide meeting down the road. That's all I have from the Central Arizona IOC.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Thank you. Excellent. Okay. And again, I think that's it would be important for us as three teams in the state, especially when it comes to the death incidents, seclusion restraint, maneuvering and understanding and it'd be good to have communication about that. And this is for Susan too, because I learned a lot when I listened to the one call or one meeting I listened into on Central. So thank you. And I'll try to get better too about making sure that Dr. Potts and Central, and then I'll have to figure out exactly who is on North, that they get our agenda and get invited. So anyway, thank you. Since we can't have a report from public, does anybody have anything more to say? If not, I think we can wrap it up. And for this month, our next meeting is March 23rd. But do we have any comments or questions from anyone? No? No? Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for giving us this time and communicating, and especially Sharon and Phyllis. Those were really important reports. And thanks to all of you. Please continue to stay healthy and well, and I hope more of you can get your vaccines. I know for myself, I'm real excited. And of course, I am over 70, so maybe that's why I'm more excited. But anyway, I will look forward to hearing from you this next month. Stay warm, stay healthy, stay well, please. And I guess I'll sign off. Okay. Bye, Sharon.
Thank you, Barbara. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye. Everyone.
Bye,
Alan. Bye, everyone.
Bye, Joe. Bye, Melissa. Bye, Joanna. Bye, Frederica. Okay, if I can figure out how to turn this off now that it's not working. Shoot.